can't come for that evening, please help us by bringing some candy. People have already been doing that. There's boxes out here in this hallway. I'm not sure if there's one out there, but you can drop it out there at the table. We'll be sure to get it with the rest of it. So you can bring some candy to help us also to be ready for that. So just want to encourage you, go ahead and sign up on the list today. It is out there this morning. Brother Mike.
So we're going to repeat the first verse. So there's really three. So join us, if you would, with the Bond of Love, hymn 384. Next song, children will be gathering over on the piano side. The next hymn is Now I Belong to Jesus, and as bad as I would like there to be, there's only three verses. I goofed. So we're going to sing three verses. So join us by standing, and let's sing Now I Belong to Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Mike, for the extra time there with one verse short. You know, there's other people that look at the bulletin as we're getting ready to print it, and we didn't even catch that, so that's okay. All right, take your Bibles this morning. We're still continuing our series in the book of Romans. If you pay attention to the sermons, you'll know. Remember that last week I did verses 1 through verse 4. This week I'm doing 6 through 7, and you may be thinking, well, what about verse 5? Well, we're going to come back to verse 5 in November, so I want to encourage you to stick around with us. This is going to be a long haul through the book of Romans. There is a lot to go through here, and we're not going to do this one like we do some of our Wednesday night or Sunday night ones where I go through chapter by chapter. We're going to go verse by verse through the book of Romans and look at every verse in here. It is packed with so much truth for us here in the book of Romans. And so we're going to learn some truths. I've entitled this message this morning, Called and Loved. Called and Loved. And so you're going to see that in verse 6 and verse 7. So would you stand as we read God's word in honor of his word? He says, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for an awesome word in these two verses that finish up this introduction, this salutation that Paul gives, this introduction to the letter that he's writing to the church at Rome. Father, I pray that you would help us to see within this introduction, this salutation here, the foundation that he's laying for the church at Rome, the foundation that he's laying for us as New Testament believers. And Father, I pray that we will understand these truths, that as believers this morning, we are called and we are loved by Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you will use that to transform our lives by our faith in Jesus and what he did for us. Knowing, Lord, that we cannot earn any of our salvation, there's nothing we can do to cause you to love us any more than you've already loved us by sending your son Jesus to die on the cross. So bless your word this morning, and may it go forth and not return void. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, what we're going to learn in this passage this morning is that your true identity as a Christian is not what the world says about you. It's who God declares you to be that defines who you are. You are called by Christ. You are loved by God. Now, I want you to know this morning, if you've never received Jesus by faith as your Lord and your Savior, some of this may not make a lot of sense to you, but as we go through it, I want you to see and to hear the gospel message that Paul is laying as a foundation in this salutation, in this opening to the book of Romans. Because I want you to hear that gospel call for your heart and for your life. But I want to also speak to you as believers this morning, because so often we are discouraged and despondent because of the things we see going around us and the circumstances of our lives or in life in general, and we get discouraged and we feel hopeless and we wonder, where is God? And we wonder, what is God doing? And does God really even care? He does care, and he has called you and he has loved you. Now understand this, when God calls you, as we talked about the last time when the gospel is presented, nothing ever stays the same. I remember reading the testimony about a young man who became a missionary, whose name was Samuel Mills. It was in 1806, he and a bunch of college friends had gathered under a haystack in Williamstown, Massachusetts. They were praying for the salvation of the nations, and suddenly a thunderstorm rolled in, and they ran for cover under that little haystack, and as the lightning cracked and the thunder rolled, they began to pray for God to send the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, the world didn't notice all that. There weren't any reporters there. There wasn't any social media, no cameras, no applause, just a few young men who were kneeling in a field during a thunderstorm seeking God's will. And Samuel Mills and his friends never dreamed that what started under a haystack would shake the world. But what began under that haystack became the spark that ignited America's first foreign missionary movement. Why? Because those young men understood that God had called them and that they were loved by God, loved by Him enough to trust His leading. And so when God calls your name and He assures you of His love, as He's doing here in these verses, everything in your life can begin to change if you'll allow it. You may not know where God is leading, but you can be sure who's leading you. When God calls you, it doesn't matter how small or insignificant you may think your beginnings are. It doesn't matter if you feel unqualified. It doesn't matter if you're unnoticed. It doesn't matter if you feel unworthy. When God calls your name, He gives you the power to become exactly what He's called you to be. And that's a shame, because so many of us in the church, so many of us who profess to be Christians, are not what yet God called us to be. He's empowered you. He's given you everything that you need. He has given you the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that moved on the day of Pentecost and thousands came to faith in Christ. That same power is within you as a believer this morning. And yet so often, we don't even seek to do what God would have us to do. When God gives you that power, when He calls you by name, He gives you that power to become exactly what He's called you to be. That's what Paul is saying to the believers in Rome as he's writing to them here in the beginning of Romans. And what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today is this same thing here in verse 6 and verse 7. Paul begins this letter not with instruction, but with identity. He reminds them and he reminds us who you are in Christ Jesus. And everything we do flows out of that. Who are you in Christ? So that's what I want to speak to you this morning today. I want to speak to you on these two powerful truths, especially that you are called of Christ Jesus and you are loved by God. And when those two truths truly begin to grip your heart, it will change how you see yourself. It will change how you face adversity and how you live each day for God's glory. So let's look at that first truth that I want you to see, that you are the called of Christ Jesus. You are the called of Christ Jesus. Paul says this again in verse 6. He says, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Now, let that begin to sink in. You are the called of Jesus Christ. As you begin to let that sink in, you're beginning to think about that. What does that really mean, that you are called to belong to Jesus Christ? Well, notice some things about the call of Christ on your life this morning. Notice that His call awakens new life. His call awakens new life. In the New Testament, the word called, it doesn't mean like invited, like you're calling somebody to invite them to dinner. It means to be summoned with authority. It's the kind of call that creates what it commands. It's the kind of call that creates what it commands. That's important for us as we go through this. When God calls, He does not just invite you to come on this journey with Him. He enables you to do all that He would have you to do. This is not like a teacher who's doing roll call and she's waiting on your answer to say here. That's not what he's doing in this call. This is a divine call that creates the response. You think about the call of Jesus when Lazarus had died, and Lazarus was in that tomb, and Jesus is standing outside that tomb with that multitude of people, and He cries out, "Lazarus, come forth." That was a call to Lazarus. But understand, that call did not just invite Lazarus to rise. That wasn't a suggestion. It gave him the life that he did no longer have to obey. It brought him back to life. So when he said, "Lazarus, rise forth," that call, those words that he called, had the power also that enabled him to come back to life, to be able to obey, to come forth. That's what happens when Jesus Christ calls you this morning. If you're without Christ, you're a sinner. He speaks, and our dead hearts come alive. And that's something that's hard for us sometimes to grasp. Sometimes we forget about that. that when you are in your sins without Christ, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. You're not just sick, you're dead. Dead means you don't have any life. You're lifeless. You don't have eternal life. You don't have the relationship that you need with God. You know, there's a lot of people who think that they're going to be okay when death comes knocking on their door. But they don't know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. They've never been made alive in Christ Jesus. That's what happens when Christ calls a sinner. He speaks, and not only does he speak and call you to come to faith in Jesus Christ, he empowers you to have that new life in Christ. That is grace in action. That's exactly what happened to Paul himself when he came to faith in Christ. That was a sovereign command that gave life to a dead man. And that's exactly what happens when Christ calls you to himself. On that road to Damascus, when the Lord said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Everything changed for Saul that day. He became Paul. Understand, Paul didn't choose Jesus. Jesus called Paul. Paul wasn't looking for some better way. Paul wasn't looking for Jesus. In fact, he was out there trying to kill Christians. He was out there persecuting Christians. It was Jesus who intervened in the midst of his life and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Jesus called Paul. And Paul never got over that in his life. You're going to see that all throughout the book of Romans about his call. Every one of you who are here this morning, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you have experienced that call. You were going your own way one day. You were living by your own wisdom. You were chasing your own plans. And then one day, Jesus called your name. Now, maybe it wasn't audible, but you knew it in your heart. You realized that the Savior who died on that cross was calling you to repentance and faith. And when you said yes, everything changed in your life. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. But when Christ called you, he breathed life into your soul. He made you alive in him. And that's why salvation isn't just turning over a new leaf. The world wants to make it and think like salvation is like that. You're just turning over a new leaf. No, it is receiving a new life. So notice that, first of all, his call awakens life within us. Notice also, secondly, that his call is personal. Notice how audacious this call is. Here is Paul, who is writing to the church at Rome. Now get the picture here. He's writing to a little tiny church that's there in the midst of a big city called Rome. He's saying, here we are, infinitely small by comparison to the Roman Empire. You think about that where we are here today. We're just one church in this town, in this state, across this nation, and around the world. And God is calling you this morning. We're just like the church at Rome, infinitely small by comparison. And yet the God who created this universe is at work in this world, mainly calling individual persons to himself. And you are among that number. When Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, he was addressing a city that was the heart of a massive empire. That empire spread across the whole of the known world at that time. It was diverse, it was powerful, but it was pagan in many ways. They were surrounded by idolatry, this church was. They were surrounded by politics. They were surrounded by power. And yet he says to this church at Rome, you are called of Christ Jesus. Notice Paul doesn't just say the called. He says you are the called of Jesus Christ. It's a personal call. When Jesus passed through Jericho, you remember that he saw a man up in a tree and a man like nobody liked. a man who had cheated his neighbors. And he said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must go to your house." When he called that man, you remember he probably even sang the song if you grew up in church. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in that sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior came passing by, the Savior looked up in that tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today." Jesus called him by name. That's a personal call. One of the things we need to understand as believers, he knows your name. That's how Jesus calls. When he calls your name. He doesn't do it to shame you. Now, you sometimes have maybe heard your parents say your name, especially if they use your middle name, you knew you were in trouble. James Christopher Norman, I knew I was in trouble when I heard that. He doesn't call you in that way to shame you. He does it to save you. And you may think this morning that God has forgotten you. You may feel like you've wandered too far. But listen carefully. God never forgets a name that he's called. He calls you personally. Thirdly, his call comes with a purpose. His call comes with a purpose. God never calls you without a purpose. So if he's called you to salvation, he didn't just call you so you got your ticket punched to go to heaven. He's called you for a purpose in his kingdom work. And you may not be involved in that work yet because you may not have been pursuing that. And that's a part of what this message is all about, for you to be stirred in your heart about what is the purpose God has for me in his kingdom work. He never calls without purpose. You remember when he called Noah? He didn't just say, "Hey, Noah." He told Noah, he gave him a mission to build an ark when the world laughed. When God called Abraham, he was sent to a land that he had never been to. When God called Moses, he gave him the courage to stand before Pharaoh. When God calls you, he does not ask if you're qualified. He qualifies you for what he's called you to do. Now, it may not mean preaching. It may not mean traveling the world and being a missionary. It may mean being just faithful right where you are, raising your children. It may be serving in the local church. It may mean being a light in your workplace at the job. It may be showing Christ's character when others around are not. But make no mistake, if you belong to Jesus, you are called with a purpose. If you belong to Christ, you are called right where you are to represent him, to trust him, to serve him. Because notice this about his call. His call is transforming. His call is transforming. You know, one of the greatest examples of that transformation of the gospel there and of his call is St. Augustine of Hippo. In the 4th century, and I've shared some of this story before with some of you, in the 4th century, Augustine was one of the most brilliant men of his time. But he was also one of the most lost men. He chased pleasure and power and philosophy, but nothing satisfied his heart. One day he was sitting in a garden, and he heard a little child's voice say, "Take up and read." And he picked up the scriptures, he picked up the Bible, and he opened it, and his eyes fell on Romans 13:13-14. What does that scripture say? It says, "Let us walk properly as in the daytime. Not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." That moment, the call of Christ began to break through the pride that he had in his heart, and it began to pierce his heart. And Augustine later said this. He said, "Instantly, it was as though the light of confidence flooded into my heart, and all the darkness of doubt vanished away." That's what the call.